The average cost of gas in Wisconsin hit yet another record high yesterday, up to $4.81 a gallon. Oil cost nearly double the amount it did this time last year. There are a lot of things pushing gas prices up. Supply hasn't matched up with demand. People are driving more than they were, of course, during the height of the pandemic. And the war in Ukraine means that millions of barrels of Russian oil have been largely pulled from the supply chain. All this has put pressure on President Biden, who later this month will travel to Saudi Arabia to meet with leaders about oil production capacity in his latest attempt to bring gas prices down. But how much control does Biden have here? What would it take for prices to go down? Our guest today will give us his insight on where he sees the oil market headed this summer and beyond. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. How are higher gas prices affecting you? Have you cut back on driving if you've been able to? How would you like to see the government tackle the problem? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You could also email ideas@WPR.org. Abhi Rajendran is an energy market researcher with Energy Intelligence. He's also an adjunct research scholar at Columbia University's Center on Global Energy Policy. Abhi, welcome to Central Time.
Ryan, thanks for having me.
Let's take a look kind of step by step here. Before the Russian invasion of Ukraine, gas prices had already gone up some, not to their current levels. What was driving price increases at that point, pre-Ukraine invasion?
Yeah, no, I mean, this is, this is kind of a steady rise that we've seen for a while. All through, last year, as you noted, we saw kind of a steady rise of the average retail price from the twos, the mid twos to start last year. And we ended last year, kind of comfortably above three. And we were kind of creeping towards the mid threes, kind of pre-war. And then, of course, everything had changed, has changed in the last couple of months. We were already starting to see the effects of tightening oil and product markets, even pre-war. We had in oil markets, we had inventories, starting to, kind of get into some dangerous waters in terms of low levels. And similarly, gasoline and diesel too, were also kind of headed in that direction. So that was all, kind of contributing to prices pushing higher. And then of course the invasion of the Ukraine by Russia, has kind of changed everything, put all of those trends into overdrive.
I want to run a few narratives that I've heard out there past you and see, help us untangle them. One was pandemic hit. Demand went way down. Prices of one benchmark went down, I think, below zero at one point. Production spun down some because of that. But then as demand came back up, the supply, for whatever reason, people didn't start gearing up production to match that. Is that part of what's happening? And if so, why?
Now, that's certainly part of what's happening. And I think there's two parts to that. There's an oil market part to it where, we've had, U.S. oil production reach close to 13 million barrels a day in late 2019, early 2020, right before the pandemic hit. And as you noted, we had this kind of shock in the spring of 2020 in terms of demand, in terms of consumption, and of course, the lockdowns and everything that happened around the world. And since then, demand has, by and large, come back. I think you could argue that, jet fuel is not quite normalized yet, but gasoline, diesel have by and large come back. But U.S. oil supply is still quite a bit below, right? We're still, just around, kind of 11.6 million barrels a day of U.S. oil production. So still quite a bit below that 13 million barrel a day threshold. And it is rising, but it's rising, kind of in a gradual way, recovering post-pandemic. And we can certainly touch on why. I think the second factor is on, further downstream from oil. It's on the refining side. The U.S. market has closed 1 to 1.5 million barrels a day of refining capacity, closed and or announced conversions to biofuels and other products. That's just in the U.S. and that's also been a global trend. We've lost 3 to 3.5 million barrels a day of global refining capacity, and this is partly why you're kind of in the dynamic that you are now with kind of shortages and these price spikes happening for products for diesel, for gasoline, and kind of pulling oil along with it, because we have all this capacity that was lost over the last couple of years. Demand has largely come back, and when you threw the kind of the Russia invasion into the mix, it's really sort of sent the market into a spiral and a little bit of a panic. So I think demand is back. Supply is not, for both oil and for refining capacity. I think both of them are contributing to this environment.
We are talking about gas prices, why they are where they are. Abhi Rajendran is with us from Energy Intelligence. You can join in with your questions, your thoughts, maybe your experiences. What do higher gas prices mean for you? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Jack is with us in Viola. Jack, hello.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for the show. All the explanations that your guest gave doesn't justify the record profit taking that is going on with the oil company. All of it doesn't make any sense, because you can buy gas wherever you go. There's supply everywhere. Okay. Nobody's going to a gas station and say, "Oh, we're out of gas." No. And we know that under former President Trump, they cut oil production in Saudi Arabia. That's why Biden's going over there. But the point is, you got record profits by companies that we are always, supporting with our tax money. And these guys are taking us to the cleaners.
Jack, thanks for the call. Abhi, we're seeing quarterly reports out from a bunch of different oil companies showing big numbers in profits, in some cases record profits. How big is Jack's question as part of the story here?
Yeah, no, it's definitely an interesting and a relevant point from Jack, that and to your point, most companies in the energy space, whether they're producing oil or gas or refiners, are generating record profits. In many cases, the highest quarters that they've delivered earnings results in their history, over the last couple of quarters. I think in a normal cycle, these type of profit levels and all the cash flow that they generate from these profits would translate to these companies, reinvesting that capital, right? They would be, taking that capital and, putting it back, in the case of oil companies or gas companies, at the drill head, to increase production, increase rig counts rapidly, and kind of get the supply side going again. On the refining side, they would be, especially with these type of profits, they would be looking to see where they can add refining capacity, whether it's in kind of expanded capacity of existing facilities or potentially even looking to build new facilities. I think what's different this time is the kind of this whole conversation around the energy transition, kind of a focus on climate, and concerns about having to cut emissions looking out over the next couple of decades. This is also kind of entered into the kind of the budgeting and capital allocation conversation with companies. I think that's part of the reason why they are not sort of being allowed to reinvest at the rates at which they would have in the past. And this kind of goes back to investors, right? I think investors have mandated this capital discipline on companies, have asked them to sort of be more restrained with spending and expenditures, and have shown a preference for if these companies are generating high levels of profits and cash flows, for them to simply increase their dividends or their buybacks and return it back to the shareholders, as opposed to reinvest it. So I think that's what's different this time. I would say, the companies are being told not to reinvest by investors. They are their whole kind of management compensation models have changed over the last couple of years to prioritize returning cash flows and not reinvesting and growing. And that's part of the reason why we continue to have this hole on the supply side for both oil and for products. you know, and I would just say that, you know, the price of, you know, any, you know, kind of energy market, and in for our discussion, it's oil, it's gasoline, it's diesel. It's really sort of set by, you know, by international markets, right? It's not set by, you know, these companies, you know, or a group of companies or any one company. It's set by the international markets. And, you know, and you know, the war and the conflict has, you know, tightened international markets, especially in Europe, especially for diesel. And that's kind of spilled over into gasoline now. And you know, the U.S. can't really sort of insulate itself from these global market dynamics. And, you know, refiners are generating record profits and they are incentivized to run as hard as they can. And in the U.S., they are. You know, U.S. refiners are really, you know, sort of running pretty much as hard as they can. And we're only into the start of the summer. You know, we're not even, you know, into kind of peak driving season yet. And so they're kind of running as hard as they can. And there's not really that much harder that they can go. You know, as they run hard, they will continue to buy more and more oil, right? So even though oil has gone from kind of 70, 80 up to, you know, 110, 120 now, they'll continue to buy that because.
We're talking to energy market researcher Abhi Rajendran about gas prices and the many factors that influence the number you see on the pump. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. How is the high cost of fuel influencing your life, your personal part of the economy? Are there things you would like to see the federal government, for example, doing to try to bring prices down? Call 800-642-1234. Have you changed driving habits, if you're able, cutting back on optional road trips, for example, carpooling? I don't know. You tell us. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about oil and gas prices with Abhi Rajendran, energy market researcher with the group Energy Intelligence. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your possible solutions, and what the price of gas means to you these days. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Tom is with us in Menominee Falls. Hi, Tom.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'd like to ask your guest, if we were just to flat out get rid of all taxes that the U.S. government takes, both state and federal, if there is a difference, how much of a difference would it affect at the pump per gallon? I mean, we send tens of millions or tens of billions of dollars to, you know, fight other wars. Can't we make some tax cuts here to help us low-income people out?
Tom,
thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call. Abhi, how much do state and federal taxes play into what we see when we're at the gas pump?
No, it's a great question from Tom. You know, we've seen this over the last couple of months. You know, various states like Maryland, Georgia, Connecticut, you know, New York, for example, you know, start to cut these gas taxes, right? You know, it is certainly a tool to kind of help ease the burden on the consumer. You know, I think part of the challenge at this point is, you know, while that is a tool that's being used, the market continues to tighten. And so some of these tax cuts are just kind of being run over and offset by a market that, you know, just continues to, you know, get shorter on these products and continue to drift higher over the next couple of months. And I think the, you know, the other part of it is that, you know, yes, gas tax relief helps, you know, to take a little bit off the price. The knock-on effect to that is that it continues to encourage demand, right? So demand remains relatively firm. You know, the supply side continues to remain restrained, and so prices keep going up. So it is a tool. It is certainly a tool, and we've seen it used certainly at the state level. And of course, taxes are part of the gas price. You know, the problem is, I think the market dynamics continue to point to higher prices. You know, right now, you know, we're just shy of $5. You know, for kind of a national average for a retail price. You know, I see this kind of getting to the mid fives as driving season really kicks in over the next couple of months. So that's kind of the push and the torque. You know, behind the market is you know, continues to, you know, point to higher prices, unfortunately.
Let's bring out another caller now. Tom is with us in Milwaukee. Tom, hello.
Hi. I'm wondering if the world situation stays the same for the rest of the year, what will be the situation in the coming winter when energy demands increase for heating?
Interesting question. We're bringing natural gas into the picture as well. Abhi, do you have thoughts on that?
It's an important one from Tom, and I certainly cover the gas side of it as well. And you know, for all the talk of gasoline and oil, we're only just now starting to talk about the fact that U.S. natural gas prices have gone from $3-4 now to $9-10. So it made a pretty significant change. And it's a similar story on the gas side too. It's constrained supply, pretty strong demand, and of course, strong demand in Europe and in Asia, for our exports. And as Europe in particular tries to wean off Russian gas, points to a tighter market for a while here in the U.S. as well. I think this is it's an important question. We are already at $9-10, and it's just the start of the summer. I think there's certainly risk that the winter could see some very tight pricing generally, but certainly in some of those key areas, right, like up in the Northeast, in California, parts of the Midwest could see Europe style pricing, $20-30 potentially. So it's going to be pretty challenging, certainly for folks trying to heat their homes and stay warm in the winter, but also for businesses. Industrial commercial demand, will face the effects of higher prices both this summer and potentially even higher prices as we get into the winter. So that is also part of the energy challenge as we look out to the second half of the year.
Tom, thanks for that call. I'll be focusing back in on oil and gas, for our cars and whatnot. You've described a market where businesses don't necessarily want to invest to increase capacity, a global market where the United States doesn't necessarily control these things. Are there things that, say, the Biden administration could do to make a difference?
Yeah, I mean, it's an important question with not very easy answers in terms of any kind of low hanging fruit that the administration could look to use, right? In the oil market, you had the SPR, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, that was a tool and an option to, avoid extreme dislocations in supply. And we've been leaning pretty heavily on that, and we'll continue to do so. There is no real similar tool for gasoline markets, right, or diesel markets. I think some of the possible levers are back to the other Tom's question around gas tax relief. These are levers that can be pulled at the at the state level, at the local level, to provide some relief. But again, I think it's basically what you're talking about is trying to limit the upside for prices this summer. There's no real sort of tool that could, get prices to stop going up or certainly have prices go down. I think the trend as we get into driving season here still points to prices going up. And it's just a market that you just don't have a whole lot of control over. And the administration has done other things too, right? Like the ethanol waiver relief and some of those areas. So these are all kind of marginally help, potentially preventing, $6+ prices, right? But still you're looking at a trend that's pointing up over the next couple of months.
And just our last minute and a half or so, I was reading in 2008, prices went up and people drove less. You can't completely get rid of driving. A lot of people have to drive, but demand altered some in the as a consequence of those higher prices, and that doesn't seem to be happening now. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, it's it's a good question. We expect it to happen. We expect it to happen at the margin, certainly, both for gasoline and for diesel. But again, I think you're also kind of at this point where you're fighting the seasonal uplift in demand, right? So even if you do have a little bit of that demand impact at the margin, you're still going to see kind of an upward trend in demand over the next couple of months. And so perhaps it, you know, you're talking about less growth over the next couple of months, as opposed to, you know, demand actually not growing or falling because of that seasonal effect. And so, and I think this is, you know, this is, again, you know, it's a global market. So it's not just, you know, US driving season, but it's, you know, air conditioning season in the Middle East, it's construction season in other parts of the world. All of these are, you know, kind of providing, you know, kind of this upward thrust for, both gasoline and diesel and oil prices as a knock-on effect, and so that is something that, you know, we expect to see over the next couple of months. But, you know, once you kind of wear, you know, get past the summer, right? I think you know, you referenced 2018. You know, there is a risk that things just kind of get overheated and too high, and that we'll have to see some kind of a correction. And certainly this is something to watch out for, you know, post summer, right? Once you kind of get past that big bump in demand, demand will fall naturally anyway, as you get into the fall. But that high price environment could make that fall sharper this time around, just like it did in 08. Of course, there were other factors in 08, mm-hmm. And there are, you know, kind of more structural supply support factors this time, but, you know, certainly a concern for the second half of the year.
Abhi, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Abhi Rajendran is an energy market researcher with Energy Intelligence, also an adjunct research scholar at Columbia University's Center on Global Energy Policy. He joined us today for a look at the issues contributing to high gas prices.